Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a magnificent Monday. It's slightly dark down here in Florida. Just went outside and had some glasses. I was able to see the eclipse. And, Dad, I know you got to see it real good up where you're at. So pretty interesting to see right now. I've never seen one before, and I cannot say that anymore now.
Well, it's pretty good. How's my signal, Austin? I'm trying to wear my headset with my cell phone.
Oh, sounds good. Actually, that sounds better now.
Well, fantastic. I'm figuring this. Hang on one second. I got to turn something around. I couldn't go to my regular location while I'm in North Carolina to do the show because I was here basically on a different piece of property watching the eclipse, and so I didn't have time to do both. But let me tell you something about this, guys. This is some weird stuff. I mean, I can see why in the ancient days people kind of freaked out with this kind of stuff. When they had eclipses, especially if they're in the middle of a battle and it goes dark. I mean, it was weird because the sun started coming across about an hour and a half ago. In fact, I'm still in the middle of the eclipse. The sun is still two-thirds covered right now as we speak. So I'm doing a show with you right now, Austin, live during an eclipse of the sun, which is pretty cool, actually. And I'm in North Carolina directly in the path of the eclipse. And what I found was this. The sun gradually got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And even when there's a slight sliver of sun, it was still okay because we're using the special glasses to watch this. And suddenly it completely covered the sun and it dropped like 20 degrees. I mean, within minutes, it was nuts because it was dropping cooler and cooler and cooler. And then it went really dark. The trees were throwing no shadows. It was like a real late twilight, like almost at 9 p.m. at night. So, I tell you what, guys, if you got a chance to see that, you got to see something. That was some neat stuff. And remember, guys, this eclipse is crossing the United States. It started in Salem, Oregon, and Salem's the name for Jerusalem. And God always told us to look in the signs in the skies for signs from Him. And Jesus said the same thing. And what's interesting about this is it basically passes across seven Salems across the United States. And it's coming into like Yom Kippur and the time of atonement for the Old Testament. And so it's basically something that I think we all need to take a look at. I'll do a full teaching on this probably next week or later on this week. But this is really something I can understand why in the olden days when people would see stuff like that, it was like, wow, that's really something else. And it's really impressive. But I've never seen it go dark in the middle of the day. I've never seen a temperature drop because it was literally 95 degrees up here when it first this morning, and now it's dropped down. In fact, it's still much, much cooler than it normally is. It's about 85 right now outside when it was 95 just because of the dimming of the sun. What do you think, Oz?
It is pretty wild, and you don't think about that, back hundreds, even thousands of years ago before they actually had this stuff even, mapped out or tracked when this happened. It would be pretty creepy, dude. You're just doing something normal, or like you said, you're in the middle of a fight, or you're out there gardening, or you're just living your life, whatever you're doing back then, and all of a sudden the sun goes away. It would be pretty creepy. But so, it's pretty cool to see now. It's exciting that I got to see it, and I'm glad you got to see the whole thing. Did you get to record it or get any photos or have any glasses or anything?
Oh, yeah, I have the glasses, and I recorded it. I mean, recording the whole thing is kind of, anticlimactic. I mean, 2.5 minutes of being dark. We did about 20 or 30 seconds of that. I'll see if I can get it posted online for everybody. And then we also did the... we had the glasses on. Now, the glasses were pretty useless when the sun was completely eclipsed. You couldn't even see it anymore. So I went to my regular Oakley, one of the ones with the reflective lenses on them, and watched it for the rest of the time. And then, of course, once it started coming back out, you had to put the other glasses back on so you wouldn't be staring directly at it. And I'm not advising anybody stares at even the total eclipse without glasses on. I wouldn't suggest that you do that simply because, you don't want to damage your eyes. But it was very, very interesting also to see it go that dark and that cool that fast. And just wonder what, signs are in the heavens. I mean, remember the Magi followed the star to Bethlehem. And God talks a lot to his people through the signs of the stars. And like I said, I'm going to do a whole teaching on this. I've got a whole thing that I put together on that from a couple of years ago. I'm going to go ahead and do a whole thing on all of that stuff on the signs of the heavens and the heavenlies. So it'll be interesting. What's your first story, bud?
Yeah, well, this is a pretty cool health story that actually this research has been done years ago, and now they had a follow-up to see what was going on with this. Peanut allergies. get that question a lot. Most time, there's not really anything you can do about it. And a lot of children are affected by this. It's a very, very common food allergy, peanut allergies. That's why you see everything always says, you know, if it has anything involved in it, this product is manufactured in a plant that uses peanuts or anything like that. Well, a study that basically may actually help to change this, it was led by allergist and immunologist Professor Mimi Tang. A team of Australian researchers uncovered a successful treatment for children with peanut allergies. Even more compelling is the fact that the experimental trial was carried out 4 years ago, and yet its follow-up now that was just done shows that it's continuing to protect the children from allergic reactions many years later. The original clinical trial was carried out in 2013 at Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Melbourne, Victoria. They took a total of 48 children, and they enrolled in the trial and were randomly given either a placebo or a PPOIT, which stands for a probiotic that has an additional peanut oral immunotherapy added to it. It was a combination of peanut protein and the probiotic Lactobacillus rhamnosus. In lieu of avoiding peanuts in their entirety, Tang designed this based on the idea of programming the immune system to respond to peanuts and eventual tolerance, the effects of which were further boosted by the presence of the heavy probiotics. So they basically took this every day for a period of 18 months. At the end of that stage of the trial, the researchers found that 82% of the children that received the probiotics had developed a tolerance to peanuts. By contrast, only 4% of the children from the placebo group had acquired any tolerance whatsoever. Following this, the children whom the researchers deemed peanut tolerant were asked to continually consume peanuts or products that had peanuts for 4 years after the trial's conclusion. During the recent follow-up now, they discovered that 80% of the probiotic-treated participants continue to eat peanuts, and 70% of them remain tolerant to peanut products well after the trial has ended. And so this is pretty cool stuff here. You know, I don't know. I'd have to do a little bit more research, and I don't recommend anybody just saying, well, I'm going to take a probiotic and then eat peanuts. You know, if you have a peanut allergy, that's something you have to deal with right now. But probiotics play a really, really crucial role in the immune system, and that's one thing they were talking about in here with that specific strand of the probiotic. It's a very, very beneficial type of bacteria that actually helps to boost the immune system function. And so it really worked out well with this at combating against allergies. And that's why I talked to you guys so much about the probiotics. We carry the regular probiotic blend, and we also carry the probiotic 100 billion, which has this probiotic in it that they actually used in the study. So, yeah, just kind of a cool research study, but it gives you a little bit of hope as far as getting rid of peanut allergies if you really do have them, Deb.
Well, the biggest problem with the peanut allergies is they're using peanut oil to inject into little babies and giving them allergies because this peanut oil gets into the muscle tissue, the body's macrophages develop antibodies against it, so you instantaneously have a peanut allergy. The thing we need is basically to get this junk out of these immunizations and realize that you don't need all this trash in there and all this filler stuff and all these adjuvants inside of these. That's the problem. But yes, but the probiotics, to go back to that, the probiotics are so important because the gut microbiome connects with your brain. And I know it's the weirdest stuff. When I first started doing research on this, I thought, man, this sounds like some real weird stuff, like I'm putting a pyramid on my head or something. But it really does this because the gut microbiome, they have an electronic, like a frequency that allows them to interface with your brain, and the entire body works like that. I mean, everything works through a generated electrical field to convey the information to and from the body. So it doesn't surprise me at all. They say the gut is like the second brain, Austin. As a man thinketh in his heart, or his gut, a lot of people say, or you know, his chest or his heart, so is he. So it's interesting, you know, people say, well, I had a gut feeling about that. Something just didn't feel right about that. And they're finally understanding that when you're on these high sugar diets and your body gets overrun with yeast, you start having all these health problems, that one of the key things you have to do is restore the natural intestinal flora, which works together with your body to manufacture a lot of essential nutrients and vitamins. It's so important that you take that probiotic on a regular basis. I take it every single day in my protein shake, Austin, every single day. By the way, another interesting story that I just read, it says the new FDA-approved hepatitis vaccine, the hepatitis B vaccine, is found to increase heart attack risk by 700%. I mean, how crazy is that?
Jeez.
A new, It never stops. A new FDA-approved hepatitis B vaccine has been found to increase the risk of heart attacks by 700%. Yet Facebook, Google, YouTube, and Twitter ban any talk of vaccine dangers. That's where we are now with this internet censorship. There is a complete blackout of medical and scientific facts if they show vaccines to be anything else than magical, riskless, medical utopian gifts to humanity. This new analysis comes from Dr. Jack Wolfson, a well-informed cardiologist practicing in Arizona who dares to speak out on the truth about vaccine risks. Here's what he says. Hepatitis B vaccine is linked to a 700% increase in heart attacks. The FDA has approved a new vaccine. Of course they approved it. This is good news for the pharmaceutical company that makes the vaccine, but bad news for consumers. You see, in the latest trial to examine the effectiveness of the drug, heart attack risk was higher in the vaccine group by 700%. Vaccination and heart attacks may not come as a surprise. The stated purpose of a vaccine is to invoke an immune response. Here we go. The immune system links to inflammation, oxidative stress, and immune cell activation, and all three are linked to heart attack risks. Sadly, there are a few studies on vaccination and heart attack risks, but ironically, some studies clearly demonstrate that this stuff could actually, you know, massively increase the risk of heart attacks. Hepatitis B is a viral infection contracted from blood-to-blood contact. This makes IV drug users and people who have sex with multiple partners most vulnerable. HBV is not spread through food or water, sharing, eating, utensils, breastfeeding, hugging, kissing, hand-holding, coughing, or sneezing. 95% of people infected with hepatitis B virus do not become chronic carriers of the virus. They do not suffer from long-term liver complications, according to the CDC. A small percentage develop cirrhosis and or liver cancer. But guys, 700% increased risks of heart attack when you take this vaccine. This is absolutely nuts, Austin. I mean, these things just get worse and worse the more you take a look at them. What do you think?
No, it's exactly what it does, man. You start finding out all these vaccines always have these really, really horrific side effects in most cases. And a lot of times the issues of what they're supposedly trying to prevent a lot of times can be handled quite well as far as with natural nutrition. You know, I mean, anything that's basically a virus, I mean, a lot of times, now I'm not saying it works every time, but any time a virus is present in the body, really, really strong nutrients such as astragalus, black seed oil, vitamin C intravenously, D3, nutrients like that in a lot of cases can do a very significant job at suppressing the virus. Not always, but can usually do a pretty good job at it. So when you start seeing these basically vaccines that have these unbelievably dangerous side effects, especially like HPV, which is even worse, it's definitely something you need to address. And speaking of this, as far as with health now with the medical model, this is wild. Now the American Academy of Pediatrics today just basically came out now and said more children are likely to be categorized as having abnormal blood pressure during their annual wellness visits now based on new recommendations released on Monday by the American Academy of Pediatrics. The new guidelines that were published today in the journal Pediatrics, they include new diagnostic tables based on normal weight children. They're estimating almost 4% of children now in the United States have hypertension. According to the guidelines, they include updated blood pressure tables based on weight for children for more precise classifications. As a result, they're saying more children will be categorized as needing treatment, and that hypertension can be managed with lifestyle changes. Sometimes, though, the condition requires medication. They went on to say here, the Dr. Sophia Jan, director of general pediatrician, she said everyone dislikes to put kids on medication if you don't have to, but we may need to get there a little faster than we have traditionally in the past to get blood pressure under control. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm not downplaying the effects of high blood pressure, because it can have very, very tremendous, negatively tremendous effects on the kidneys, no question about it. But again, what we're seeing here is, again, they're coming in with these new guidelines, they're making them lower, they're going to make sure that everybody has, oh, well, your blood pressure is high, you're 5 years old, you're in normal weight range, but your blood pressure is slightly elevated. We're not taking into the fact that the child may be nervous when he comes into the doctor's office. They're not taking account of what the child may have eaten as far as high sugary diets that are basically making them hyper before they come in. This is the exact same garbage that they pulled 2 years ago or basically the American College of Cardiology came in with the American Heart Association and bring in new statin guidelines and erroneously updated them in an effort to double prescriptions. We put an article about this on the website, basically trying to say that, oh, well, we're going to lower the level of cholesterol again, and now, even if you do have normal cholesterol, we're thinking that you should really be on statin drugs anyways, just in case you do get high cholesterol one day, it'll be already there as a preventative medication that you're already taking. That's what they flat out came and said. Now they're doing this with children as far as saying they have high blood pressure. And again, I'm not downplaying the negative effects of high blood pressure, but again, there's a lot of different effects when you start dealing with 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds on different things that affect their blood pressure, Dad. What do you think about that?
You know, I don't even know what to say about studies like this and wanting to put young kids like this on high blood pressure medicine. Why don't you just go ahead and have them go exercise some outside and not let them get fat? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's just, but again, remember, when you allow an out of control pharmaceutical corporation, industries, but it's not just a corporation, industry that's run by these international bankers, if you allow them to come in and own the very pharmaceutical corporations that promote the very news that we get to hear and read about in the basically the fake news mainstream media, they're going to tell you you need drugs for everything because it's their fiduciary responsibility to increase their stockholders' dividends. They want to make as much money as they possibly can to get the biggest bonuses they possibly can for all the people who basically work there. I mean, you got to remember, these top CEOs get huge bonuses, sometimes hundreds of millions, sometimes up to, I've seen over $1 billion a year in bonuses with some of these big investment companies. I mean, so the more they sell, the more they make, the more profits they get, the more these guys get. And so on, almost every single advertising you're seeing on the evening news is pharmaceutically related. You've got to ask yourself the question, who's running these media? And that's exactly what it is, guys. We're being taught a lie. I'm not talking about lies. This is an article. We covered this last week, and I'm going to cover it one more time. And this article says, wake up, people. The alternative left and right media are run by the same forces. The goal is divide and conquer. And this is primarily the Charlottesville they're talking about again. And they go into the deal here, and they say that we're all being played. The so-called alt-left and alt-right are rooted in elaborate, deadly street theater being played out on the national stage. If you've ever been swept into the engineered hatred of all this, you've been suckered by the globalists who are running this entire show. In truth, most people in America aren't filled with hatred for others of different skin colors or religions or genders. Most people just want to get along. But the evidence of all of this is that Jason Kessler, we reported this last week, the organizer of the Charlottesville event, actually worked for Obama in the Occupy movement just a few months ago. This man is a professional activist and social engineer who whips up big events on the world stage in order to achieve highly visible outcomes that can be seized by the mainstream media to condemn Trump supporters by labeling them all racist KKK. Much of the organized left is funded either directly or indirectly by George Soros, the same radical left-wing operator who undercut freedom and liberty across the numerous European countries. He's the funding source behind Think Progress and 200-plus other radical left-wing groups. The KKK leaders, who were interviewed by a variety, detail how they were wooed with promises the program would capture the truth about the life in the organization, encouraged not to file taxes on cash payments for agreeing to participate in the filming, presented with pre-scripted fictional story scenarios. I mean, this stuff, this production seems they've done on the KKK. Meanwhile, the media is using the hatred and division to try to dethrone President Trump. But don't be suckered into believing any of this. And then it goes on to talk about how this is all a communist group that's going out and doing these things on a regular basis that's trying to bring the entire communist movement to the United States to bring in a one-world government. Exactly what we've talked about repeatedly over and over and over again, Austin. What do you think?
You're exactly right. I read some of the same stuff today about this, and that whole thing, the more everybody keeps, this is the thing you guys got to realize, and this is pretty accurate. Not 100% of the time, but it's pretty accurate. Anytime you see the media already have pre-scripted information, already have pre-rolled footage ready to go, already have all the works lined up for their news feed for the next 3 to 4 days, when they have all these guests lined up to discuss all this stuff, and it literally happens back to back to back to back to back, and it's the only thing their news feed consists of for days on end, like CNN and this other stuff when that Charlottesville happened. When this stuff happens, and almost every case that I've personally seen, if it was not fully manufactured, it was prepped and they knew it was going to happen and they were planning for it to happen and they were already ready to go as soon as somebody gave them the word. The same thing we saw up with Sandy Hook when that happened. They're ready to go. The same thing we saw with the shooting out there in Aurora, Colorado. The same thing we saw over there when Ferguson started to escalate. Anytime they know this stuff's about to happen, they make sure that they have everything lined up so they can push their communist agenda and get everybody right exactly where they want them. That's why I've said so many times the last couple weeks, we can't buy into this garbage that they're pushing on the mainstream TV right now. The CNN fake terrorist news organization that's peddling literally lie after lie after lie, that's trying to create as much hatred and bitterness towards Americans in general, is absolutely out of control to me. They even showed when they were talking about how, well, I read that article earlier today, how the car, how the one car, the guy, the main guy that recorded the footage basically is a known communist. He works with all kinds of different stuff, even with the CIA before. So the footage that he had, if everybody noticed, he had like perfect footage of the Dodge barreling down and running into the back of the cars and hitting all these people. Then it took off. Well, then apparently, from what I've seen now, there were two photos that have surfaced. One that was basically a wrecked Charger from a few days before where they had done either a test, and like I said, I haven't vetted this yet, where they basically did a mock run of this when they had all these people together a couple days before. Exact same Charger, exact same color, exact same area that it was wrecked, except that didn't have stripes up and down the hood. Apparently, from what I'm reading, this whole thing was staged days in advance with the people that they had, with the vehicle. Everything was ready to go. They knew exactly where the filming needed to be done. They knew exactly when the situation was going to escalate. They knew exactly when they were going to have all these guys basically funneled into the middle of this group intentionally. And they made sure that all the peaceful protesters from Antifa and Black Lives Matter that showed up, they all had tear gas and bags of feces and urine that they were all ready to go. I mean, first off, nobody wants to address this. Who shows up to a peaceful protest and brings bags of urine and feces and tear gas? Who even plans to bring stuff like that with you? Who does stuff like that? This whole thing was manufactured from the very beginning, and most of the United States is being played for a fool, as we talked about before, Dad. So, yeah, I really hope a lot of the population is waking up to what's really going on and they're not buying into this crap.
Well, it's interesting to me. I mean, I've got three people who are all Jewish that are all friends of mine. And I contacted them about the stuff that was going on with Trump and Charlottesville. And I asked them for their opinion on it because I was really curious as to what they were, if they were raised, you know, with staunch Judaism, which has a lot of ties from the Jewish movement with the Democratic Party. And many of them are basically communists. And the one who was married to a German man, which is kind of ironic, but she is, says, I think you're missing the point. This country has a brutal past as so many others. The point of taking down the statues is not Trump or Republicanism or Democrats. It's the fact that people who were brutal in the history of this country should not have been given these statues, and we should not celebrate their bad past. Sure, it's history, but not one to be proud of. Even ancestors of them are asking for the statues to be taken down. We should all learn from history and not relive the past, revive the past. One fine example is Germany, who has no Nazi statues or Hitler statues, but monuments to the people who suffered during these times, and we should learn from our past and love each other. And my response to her was, well, let's take down the pyramids. They were built by slaves, and, you know, but, you know, why don't we just, you know, go ahead and do all that. And I said, and she goes, but the pyramids are not monuments to the people. They were built, a lot of places built by slaves, but not in the current times. I said, that's not true. I said, you know, I said, go to the Valley of the Kings in Egypt. The statues of Ramses are everywhere. He was a great enslaver. The same for Alexander the Great. And I said, let's not even mention Napoleon. I said, the problem is that, you know, you can't just destroy history. Now, what you could do, and now they're planning on doing this on the Thomas Jefferson Memorial, is they're going to go ahead and do a little plaque up there about the slaves and the fact that he was a slave owner. And I really don't have a problem with that because it's something that, you know, we can look at. But I spoke to another Jewish friend of mine, and this is what he sent me. And he just said he's a pilot also. And he basically said something that was pretty good. He goes, is I wonder what George Washington and Jefferson would say. They were huge slave owners. And while tolerance needs to, while intolerance needs to stop, so do blacks blaming being slaves on their current status. I'm going to repeat that. Blacks need to stop blaming their current status on being slaves. And he goes, my people, the Jewish people, were slaves for a thousand years. Instead of still blaming the Egyptians, we educated our children and we didn't take social welfare. Another article that I pulled up, this is not my thing, but this is what it says. This is pretty good. It says, everyone is being made to think that the white nationalists are the same as white supremacists, and they're totally different. But this is how they get all whites to be hated. More of the media's handiwork, remember? The white nationalists are the patriots, period. The white supremacists are the haters and the racists. The KKK would be in this group, the ones who think that they have to have racial purity and they're true racists. But notice all the media is putting together all of us, all the white people in the same pot. That is why President Trump was attacked, because he condemned that some of the people out there were good people. He was speaking of the nationals who love the country, but not these haters. The media immediately twisted it all into white anything is bad. You see, and this is what ends up happening, because we get into a situation where we don't realize just how crazy this whole thing gets when people believe these crazy things over and over and over again. But I have another one of my Jewish friends, and I want to pull this up for you too. And this is the true liberal Jew who's not trying to figure out what the world's happening here. This is what he says. He means this. And this guy's a very, very successful business guy. He owns a big CPA firm. Says here, he says, quote, I'm quoting him now, everything is Trump's fault, period. He is the idiot clown that is becoming the for everything that goes wrong. Have you not noticed that he doesn't know what he's doing and that everyone on his team is abandoning him? He never wanted to be POTUS, and he was surprised when it happened. He is a good con man, and a lot of people were easily conned and are still being conned, and they don't realize it. He said words that he had no idea if he could back them up. Every word that comes out of his mouth is a lie, and the fact checkers prove it over and over again. The Republicans are realizing they must keep him in check or he will ruin this beautiful country. That's a true socialist talking right there. That's a true people person who basically thinks that everything is Trump's fault. That's his own quote. And I said to him, I said, LOL, I said, he is the accidental president. On that we agree. But Clinton no much better. Clinton must not be any better. I said, you must be a Democrat, which he never answered to me at all about being a Democrat. Now, the thing that I wanted to share with you about what he said is this. He's blaming everything on Trump. He's calling him an idiot clown. But he doesn't take one look, Austin, at what Obama did. He doesn't take one look, Austin, at what Hillary has done and all the lies she's done in Benghazi and everything else. Now, and he's saying that he says these things during his campaign, and he doesn't have any idea if he can back them up. Every single person who's run a major political campaign in the last 20 or 30 years have made promises they have been unable to keep. This is something they wanted to do. Because of Congress, they were unable to do it, or they changed their mind, or they found out other facts when they got involved in it. So he's blaming everything, and now he's saying that he can prove and fact-check that he's lying about everything. He doesn't even understand that these fact-checks that he's using are being promoted by the mainstream media that is basically trying to deride and derail the presidency and destroy Trump. I mean, the thing about it is, a lot of the stuff that you see with the fact-checks, like Snopes and all the other stuff, half that stuff on there, they're telling you it's true, it's not. The other stuff, true, it is. I mean, they twisted everything. Everything gets twisted. Here's the truth. Donald Trump used the name of Jesus multiple times in his inauguration. I haven't seen that before in a presidential inauguration. Not once, not even with Reagan or with any of the Bushes. Of course, we know the Bushes were skull and bones, which means I don't think there's any possibility those guys are Christians. So here's the thing we have to look at. We've got to look at the fact that he has Christian leaders in the country right now praying for him, laying hands on him in the White House, and he's trying to do what is right as far as what he sees is right. I personally believe, and I said this a few weeks ago, I'm going to say it again, he's in a giant vat of sewage, the swamp in Washington, and it's been stocked full of piranha and great white sharks and every manner of menacing fish or amphibian that could possibly be shoved in there. And what we've ended up with is this situation where our country has become completely and totally corrupt. Completely and totally corrupt from an administrative standpoint with all the stuff that's going on with Washington. And Trump now has found himself in it. Now, I will say this. He is the accidental president. We literally prayed him into office. I sat here on my show with you guys almost a year ago now, and we prayed and we pray that Hillary Clinton be fully exposed for all the stuff that she's going to do. Not something to be fully exposed. And guys, she started falling down at conventions, or she started falling down, she started tripping, she started doing face plants. I mean, all this stuff happened, and then all of a sudden we find out the information with the soul cooking and all the other stuff with Podesta. All of a sudden the deep state, which was going to shoehorn her in with a completely rigged election like they did with Bernie Sanders, knew they couldn't put her in because it would be exposing all of it. The lady over in Britain this weekend who exposed the Jerry Savelle pedophilia mess years ago, who was basically eviscerated by her own groups of reporters in England, has been now found dead. Now, guys, this thing goes back to that. No matter how we break it down, these weirdos and these perverts are running the planet, and that's what they're all scared about. They don't want to be exposed, and they know if they can get a Democrat back in there or even Pence back in there, he's going to march the beat of the drum he wants to beat the beat too. Because, guys, Pence has got a really strange past. I didn't. I was totally and completely diametrically opposed to him being chosen as vice president. To me, it was the same thing they did to Ronald Reagan when they put George Bush in the White House as vice president. I didn't trust the guy. He was the head of the CIA. I don't trust Pence. I didn't trust him from the beginning. He's been involved in some weird stuff, and there's an awful lot of internet chatter about the things he's been involved in that whether I can prove them or not, I don't know. I'm not going to bring them up on this show. But, guys, this guy is not who you think he is at all, and we have to make sure we try to keep Trump in there as long as we possibly can. And again, Ivanka and Jared Kushner were pretty much the ones that were responsible for getting Steve Bannon tossed out of the White House, because they say that his value system, being an extreme right winger, were diametrically opposed to their Jewish belief systems. Remember, these guys are staunch, dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, both of them. These guys are like the guys that I was reading about. Everything is Trump's fault. I don't trust these two at all, Austin, and they shouldn't even be allowed in the White House as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
Yeah, it is pretty interesting to hear the different ideology from that, you know, every aspect, because it's funny when people always do that when they're like, oh, Trump's this, Trump's that, he's the worst president, he has no idea what he's doing, everything's his fault. But as you said, nobody even takes into account the absolute just abysmal failure that Obama did as a president, and the lot of things he did that were not a failure as far as really making America fall down many, many notches. That's what he did a great job at. And so what's going on in the dress, the one guy that responded with that, as far as with the slaves in Egypt, he's absolutely right about that. And I actually had a discussion with this the other day. Actually, two of my friends, and one of them, he was black, and I, you know, we were having discussion about it, and he's pretty educated, and he pretty much had very similar ideology as your buddy did. As I said, the thing that we're doing now is everybody's constantly trying to say, well, this is because we were slaves, this is because this happened, we need to tear down this statue because it promotes this. Yes, there are some instances that that statute may possibly be a reminder to some people that something was negative. But again, as you said, we can't just go around and start carving up and tearing down history because one person's offended about it or another person doesn't like it. Majority of the people that are in this country now that are adults, they don't even know anybody that were even related to slaves. A lot of them don't. They may have had their great-great-great-great-grandfather was involved in something back in the early 1800s, and that's the extent of it. Or they may have done an ancestry check and gone back and found that. But as far as them being directly related and a negative factor impacted by what happened back in the 1800s, it didn't happen. I wasn't even here. As you talked about before, I'm 29 years old. Secondly, my whole family's from Germany. So I didn't have anything to do with this. And secondly, constantly sitting there and trying to use that as an excuse of why this has gone wrong and why you don't have this. We've done affirmative action, and it's gone well beyond what it ever should have gone for, in my opinion, as far as helping a lot of individuals out on a regular basis. I mean, you see that as far as just getting into medical school is an example of that, and SAT scores and GPAs. All that stuff's on a regular basis, and in most cases, I don't have a bit of problem with that. If you want to basically help out a different race to help push them forward and help know, basically push them in different directions. Okay, I got that. But don't sit there when we continually do that over and over and over again for an extended period of time and still blame something that happened literally 150 to 200 years ago on everybody that's living in this generation. It makes no sense. It simply is an excuse to try and get out of being responsible for your actions. And that's exactly what we have going on now. And now we have the communists that are basically coming, as you just talked about, Dad, that are coming in these groups now and blatantly Soros supporters that we're seeing and trying to do the best they can to start up as much just anger and animosity towards one another, and we can't allow ourselves to go into that situation at all. Also, too, another article I wanted to address from the Wall Street Journal today. This, every time I turn around, there's another article about either biometrics or chipping or something, guys. This is a topic that's getting brought up in mainstream media repeatedly now. An article from the Wall Street Journal just got released yesterday. It said, "Why your face will soon be the key to all your devices." And it goes into detail by biometrics. It says, "Many slim phone and tablets unlock with the press of a thumb. This is just sort of mobile facial scanning is on the way and is already being used on a plethora of different mobile devices. Forget fiddling with passwords or even fingerprints. Forget multiple layers of sign-in. Forget credit cards and eventually even physical keys to your homes or cars. A handful of laptops and mobile devices can now read facial features, and the technique is about to get a boost from specialized hardware small enough to fit in all of our phones." And then the article goes into detail about how basically incredible biometrics are and how awesome they are and how convenient they are and how safe they are and how much they protect us and all this stuff. And I just talked about the article the other day that was basically from the Washington Post that went on to detail about how you're all going to be chipped eventually. That was at the head of the article. So this is what they're trying to do now. They're incredibly aggressive at trying to push this narrative of the biometrics, of the chipping, of all this stuff now to get us used to it. So as this stuff rolls out, because I know a lot of these phones now, they have biometric scanners, not just the thumbprints. They do facial recognition scanners. Same thing as laptops. I've seen them. I've seen them used now. College kids that I know, they set them up and they literally flip open their laptop. The laptop looks at them, scans their face, unlocks the computer. No thumbprints, no password, no nothing. From a convenience factor and having it right now, it's incredible. I'm not going to lie. It's a really, really cool feature. From a long-term viability as far as what we're going to do as a society and allowing our privacy and our rights to be completely controlled and manipulated and eventually taken away from us, it's very scary, because once this stuff starts going on mainstream, everything's going to start switching over to it. No longer are you going to have signatures when you do a credit card. You'll simply swipe your card and they'll do biometric scan, or even better yet, if they just said, "Here, you won't even need credit cards. It'll scan your face and immediately charge your card that's connected to your PayPal account or whatever account you have." That's where it's headed, guys, to where anything and everything you do will be tracked, monitored, and then, of course, as we've already seen now, sold to a third party so they can go and do even more monitoring and focus more advertisement directly to you and control your life even more. So it's pretty weird this is happening so aggressively now. But again, it's something that I kind of expected to have happen with the way we see technology increasing, but it is kind of creepy in a lot of senses, Deb.
The other day I was calling Citibank because my credit card got hacked again at a stupid gas station. I mean, I'm so over this with these stupid scanners. And I was talking to them, and they said, "Well, we'd like to enhance your security." I said, "Well, why would you do that?" And they said, "Because of this. Can we do a voice imprint and voice identification imprint for our biometric scanner for your voice and have it on record for you?" And I said, "Absolutely not." Absolutely not.
Yep.
I mean, but you're right. This is where it's going. But I want to add one more comment to the story we were doing before that. What we've allowed to have happen is we've allowed the media and the communists and those guys who control the communists to come in and control the narrative on both sides of these scripts. Like we said earlier, when that man is basically working for Obama, now he's a white nationalist, which he never was. I mean, first of all, let me explain something to you guys. This is like, you got two diametrically opposed value systems. If you got a KKK neo-Nazi, or you got a person who's working for George Soros, those guys, you wouldn't need a lot of powder to get those guys to shoot each other. These guys hate each other. I mean, they really, really hate each other. And I mean, this guy basically swapped sides and said, suddenly, I'm now a white nationalist. I mean, nobody could even believe that narrative. It's so far out there and so extreme, it's not possible. So what we've done, we've allowed these guys who can control the narrative. They've taken the black people and the uneducated white people and the uneducated black people and some of the educated white people, and they basically turned them against white people in general. Now, I got to say this, it's very important. Blacks who live in this country right now were never slaves. They're fighting white people who never were Nazis. The Nazi party's over where they want to be a neo-Nazi, but they weren't a Nazi, okay? They're fighting over a Confederate statue that was erected by Democrats, because remember, the Democrats were not the party of Lincoln. Lincoln was Republican. Because the Democrats can't stand their own history, which is what will happen after the Civil War, and now they're trying to blame it all on Trump. I mean, think about that. Black people who were never slaves, white people who were never Nazis, over a Confederate statue erected by Democrats because the Democrats can't stand their own history anymore, and somehow it's Trump's fault. Now, we mentioned this last week. Lowlife Woodrow Wilson, who brought us the income tax of the Federal Reserve System, was a Democrat. He also played movies of the KKK in the White House. You heard me right. The KKK had pretty much gone by the vice, had pretty much left, had gone away. And he was playing and promoting the Klansmen and the KKK in the White House. This Democrat was. The KKK is the party of the Democrats. The problem is nobody wants to stop and look at the history and see what's going on. The blacks, the whites, Hispanics, everybody are being broken into subgroups and being played. I mean, I know brilliant white people, I know brilliant black people, I know brilliant Hispanics, I know everybody who's brilliant. In fact, this morning, apparently when something's going on with, never have a chance not to have a house with a swimming pool, do yourself a favor and don't get a swimming pool. And it's just too much work to try to maintain this stuff. And years ago I had a problem and I called the same company up. They have a black man who is one of the most brilliant people I've ever spoken to as far as electronics. The guy is just, he's like a Bill Gates of pool equipment. The guy's just absolutely brilliant. Not to discredit him by calling him a Bill Gates. The guy's just brilliant. And I called the same company up and I said, "You guys have a black guy who works for you." That's Toby. I said, "Could you please send him out? He's the best I've ever seen at working on this stuff. The guy's absolutely brilliant." Well, yeah, he's been doing this for 22 years. He's our best tech. I said, "Could you please send him out?" And they said, "Of course we will." So guys, it's not a question of, you know, saying whites are better than blacks or blacks are better than whites. It's a question of, hey, we need to all get along. It's nobody's being better than anybody else. We're all the same in God's eyes. We all come from common ancestry, and we need to understand that, and we need to just learn to live and get along with one another and treat each other with respect. And that's the end of what I want to talk about today, also. But I wanted to share all that with you because I read you so much, so I want to close it all up. So what's your next story, bud?
Good, absolutely. Yeah, another one. This is pretty wild, too. China's Great Wall Motor Company now has basically interested, and they're putting a bid in for Fiat Chrysler automobiles, which includes brands including Jeep and Ram now. The company officially confirmed it was pursuing all or at least parts of FCA, which is Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, after the U.S. publication Automotive News reported that a well-known Chinese automaker has also made another offer this month. An acquisition by Great Wall Motors would be one of China's highest profile manufacturing deals to date. And what's wild about this is we've talked about this before, and we're really starting to see a very, very fast rise in this from the Chinese coming in and buying basically huge Hollywood studios, which they're doing, I mean, in record numbers now, coming in and buying massive amounts of property and massive amounts of real estate, buying up large portions of the stock market, also coming in and buying up automakers now, which, I mean, Fiat Chrysler, if they come in and actually buy this, even part of it, that is going to be huge. And so we're kind of seeing this whole thing where China is buying up a huge part of this country in a lot of different aspects, and it's pretty weird to watch. But again, when we see that the globalist approach and what they're trying to do is they really are trying to dice up the United States and turn this entire thing into basically a world globalist monopoly, and that way they can kind of come in with their central banks in every aspect and own literally anything and everything you could physically think of and turn us into a global structure, which is the only way they're going to be able to successfully come in and bring in a new world order. So I thought that was pretty wild, Dad, that basically this Chinese company is looking to buy this up. kind of sad because, I mean, Chrysler, Dodge, I mean, they've always been pretty much, you know, American. I know the Fiat's out of Europe, but that'll be pretty wild if China comes in and basically buys up, you know, Chrysler, Dodge. That's kind of weird.
Well, you know, Mercedes tried to do the same thing with Chrysler a few years ago, and they couldn't get it to work, and they still own quite a bit of stock in it, but they had to back out of it. I mean, the Chrysler brand, when the Dodge brothers died, I mean, if you watch that show that was on the History Channel last week on the history of the automobile, it really goes into detail on who these people were. I mean, there actually was a guy named Chrysler, there was a guy named Dodge, there was a guy named Chevrolet. I mean, you don't realize that these guys, you know, we know that Ford was there. I mean, but these guys, they were the innovators, the Dodge guys. I mean, they could produce engines, man. They could build some engines. And so, yes, but it has had a problem. And Lee Iacocca resurrected it. This was before your time, Austin, back in the 80s, early 80s. He resurrected Chrysler, you know, with the minivan. He completely brought it out of a giant ditch and a giant loan to the government. And then he turned around and he bought Jeep and Wrangler, and he massively promoted Jeep, which is a great vehicle, by the way, especially for off-roading. So he was able to bring Chrysler out of a pit. But Lee Iacocca has been gone for almost 20 years now, and they don't have another Lee Iacocca, so it's kind of sad. By the way, Breitbart, Steve Bannon said that he's going to go back to Breitbart and resurrect Breitbart. Steve Bannon really, really disliked Jared and Ivanka. I mean, loathed them, and he said he's basically going to go back and just start hammering the White House, not Trump, but I'm sure he's talking about Jared and Ivanka. And sure enough, here's an article off Breitbart today. It says, 6 times President Trump upset Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, and the media found out. So apparently he's going to let it all roll now. President Trump's fire response to the events in Charlottesville, Virginia, had a lot of media outlets and Democrats upset. Apparently it also included Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, senior advisor, whose displeasure is regularly leaked to the media. The New York Times' Glenn Thrush reported this week via an anonymous source that Kushner and Ms. Trump had urged the president denounced the white nationalist protesters more forcefully. Thrush reported the news just after Trump had defended his recent statements. Actually, when a few years ago with Access Hollywood, this year, when tapes emerged in October last year of President Trump talking crudely about women in 205 was leaked to Washington Post, it nearly derailed Trump's campaign. It also upset Ivanka, who, according to the New York Times, made an empathetic case for a full-throated apology. Trump's daughter, eyes swelled with tears and her face reddened, and she hurried out in frustration, the Times reported in May. The Paris Climate Agreement. When President Trump announced that the U.S. would pull back from the Paris Climate Agreement, it soon found its way to the media that Ivanka and Jared were not too pleased. Politico, while reporting that it was surely a loss for the happy couple, cited sources saying the pair were taking it in stride. Their views of their roles in the White House is they're playing the long game, helping the president to be successful. Then again, he goes, Trump undermines Kushner on Mexico. According to the High Society Vanity Fair in January, Kushner was furious that his efforts were being undermined by President of the United States. The outlet pointed to a media meeting between Trump and Mexican President Nieto, which Kushner was trying to arrange. When Trump tweeted it'd be better to cancel the meeting and Mexico was unwilling to pay for the wall, the meeting was canceled. Kushner was furious, an anonymous source told the outlet. I never once heard him say he was angry throughout the entire game, but he was furious. Ivanka and Jared worked to kill lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans order. In February, news reached Politico that the pair helped kill off an order that would have overturned a 2014 Obama-era executive order preventing LGB discrimination in the workplace. You hear what I just said? They're the ones who worked together to stop Trump from killing that executive order. The White House downplayed the move, saying it was one of hundreds of draft orders being considered. And when Trump tweeted he would not allow transgenders identifying to serve in the military, a number of people in the White House reportedly shocked. And again, it didn't take long for the news in the mainstream that it was Kushner and his wife that were actually livid that this was happening. They weren't going to be allowed to serve anymore. Guys, he's got these two whack bags in the White House, and I hate to tell these whack bags this. Steve Bannon is back at Breitbart, and this isn't going to stop. These guys are going to be hammered mercilessly. I mean, it's going to be they're going to wish they'd have left Steve Bannon alone and left him in the White House, because before this is over with on the court of public opinion, I hope they're going to get these two nuts out of the White House. What do you think, son?
That is pretty wild. I mean, Breitbart's got a huge footprint. That's the thing about it. They have a big, big following, and they reach a lot of people. So, I mean, yeah, if he really – there's weird stuff about Kushner. We've called that out for longest
time.
Yeah,
since February.
Now,
Yes,
it's February. I mean, this is not something abnormal. This has been going on for a while, and I still stand beside a lot of that. This guy never got voted in anything. He's never held any positions, basically, in the government, and he – pretty much came in on the coattails of Trump and was given more authority than just about almost everybody else in the cabinet and everybody around Trump. And it was pretty odd, especially how much pull he essentially had and all the money that he was tied into with the real estate investors and everything else. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with this. But Breitbart's got a footprint, man. They got a lot of people that follow that. So we'll definitely have to see exactly what happens with it. Also, too, other news over up in Chicago, the Windy City, it looks like they had 63 people were shot over this weekend, only beat by the 4th of July weekend. Pretty rough. I don't really know what to say about this anymore. It's really kind of getting scary what's going on up there. I feel bad for the people that are still living up there. You know, they said basically 8 of them were killed, 63 shot. Basically more than half of them were wounded just in the 12-hour period from Saturday to early Sunday, which is pretty wild. But this is something that, again, nobody wants to address in mainstream media. Nobody wants to bring this up on what's going on up there. And this is a significant problem. I mean, I think last year they had, 4,000 people or something shot up there. I think this time last year they were roughly around, 2,700 people had already been shot. I mean, it's 450-something homicides. So this year already, there's been 451 homicides this year. So, I don't know, Dad. It's very sad, but I wish instead of taking all this negative energy with the mainstream media that they're continuing to push more hatred and violence and these Antifa and these Black Lives Matter supporters, I don't know why they don't go to Chicago and start protesting and asking why so many people, a lot of these kids and teenagers, they don't even involved in anything. They're getting hit with straight bullets because these guys run through spraying with incredibly inaccurate Mac 11s and stuff down the street. And, you know, it's funny because it's all selective. They want to go argue and fight and bicker and complain and protest about a statue that's been there now for the last 100 years, but yet nobody in mainstream media wants to address that 63 people got shot in a single city in a two-day weekend up in Chicago. It really shows you how the mainstream media only is there to push their agenda and not actually bring any real news or even try and bring any truth or change to anything that's really going on, that's really significant, like this up in Chicago, man.
This is why the Democrats are losing everywhere, which is a good thing for us because we're primarily communists. They've lost their goal. They've lost their focus.
Yeah.
All they're trying to do is twist news. I mean, you're absolutely right. Instead of working on things, trying to get their agenda and their plank to get through, they pick these little minor things like what happened in Charlottesville, which they helped to orchestrate through their Soros-funded objectives, and nobody wants to hear about it. I mean, the vast majority of people in the United States are not racist. The vast majority of the people, like 99.99999%, are not neo-Nazis. Okay? It's not. There aren't that many of these people running around. And so when they focus on these particular people, it's like this. Why are you focusing on this? Why don't you focus on stuff that really, really, really matters? Why don't you talk about the raping that's going on from the Muslims that are coming into the country? Why don't you talk about the fact that we have a hyperinflated bubble in the stock market right now, that we got to have a massive correction if we don't go to World War III to try to cover it up? Why don't we talk about the things that people really need to want to talk about? And that's what Donald Trump did, Austin. When Donald Trump was campaigning and he went to all of these cities and filled these arenas up with 10, 20, 30,000 people, and all of a sudden he starts telling the people the truth about what they wanted to hear. They start thinking, wow, this guy's actually saying stuff that actually matters. It's like, why are 1 in 40 children now coming down with autism? Some people say up to 1 in 60. You know, why is it getting worse and worse and worse with special needs children? Why is it getting to the point now that there are entire classrooms filled with special needs kids? In some schools, there's multiple classrooms filled with special needs kids. Kids that are so bad that they can't even be in a regular classroom at all and need like 24-hour care while they're in the school system. I mean, why is that happening? Why is this affecting all of us? You know, why in the world are food prices going up so much? Why in the world are housing prices going way up through the roof again? Why are all these things starting to happen? And let's work on getting this stuff corrected. No, they want to talk about blacks who weren't slaves and whites who weren't Nazis fighting each other in a basically conceived event that was put together by a George Soros operative. That's all they want to talk about. That's why their party is falling apart. The problem is when you own the media, you get to decide what the stories are going to be and what you're going to talk about. Guys, I want to thank you. The eclipse is almost over here. We got a little sliver of the moon still over the sun here. So I can honestly say to you, I'm probably one of the only people, I guess, that's ever even thought about going to a live eclipse and reporting to you during the eclipse. So it's been a blast being with you guys today. I love you guys. I just appreciate you so much. Guys, we get so many good emails from you guys all the time. Thank you. And thank you for your support. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for getting your HGH Stimulate from us. Thanks for getting your B vitamins from us. Thanks for all the stuff that you guys do. I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, we couldn't be here doing this every day. And so I hope we bring something to your lives as you bring something to our lives. So, again, my heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you. I'm going to let you ride the summer today. Awesome. I'm going to buzz off here a little bit early today, let you finish the show. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Loved it. Enjoyed it. You guys, bless. In this area that's about to have an eclipse, don't look at the sun without special glasses. Love you guys. Thanks, Austin. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, we thank you for the support. And also, too, thank you for working with us on a lot of the emails. We love it when you guys email us stuff. I had an email today from a really good customer, and basically I had missed his first email that he had sent me, and he sent me another email basically asking me, you know, what happened, and also the same question over again, and I made sure I got it answered. We get a lot of emails every day, guys, and we appreciate them. We really do appreciate the support and everything you guys do for us. But again, you know, a lot of times we miss emails sometimes when they come flooding in, especially after the weekend, and Dad's been in and out of town so often that I've been pretty much handling the emails myself, which I don't mind doing. They just take me longer to get to with so many of them. And again, like I said, occasionally some of them, they get missed, and I try my best not to do that, but again, it happens. I'm only human, and I can only do as much as I can. So if you do not hear from me after a couple weeks and it's something really important, just give us a call. You know, that's what we're here for. We have the phones 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, and if you don't want to do that, just send an email again and repeat it and put in the header, you know, hey, I'm trying to get a hold of you. I already sent one email, and that way it kind of catches my attention because the contact form just gets flooded every single day. And again, we appreciate the support, and I thank you for all the emails, and thank you for understanding on that as well. And guys, if you need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com, and be sure to check out the product of the week. It's the HGH Stimulate, as I talked about last week. Great for increasing energy. I actually just had a buddy of mine that got back in the gym, and I sold him a can the other day, and he started working on it. He goes, man, he goes, I'm so sore. He goes, this is really pushing me in the gym, and I'm getting these wicked pumps already every time I train. And I said, yeah. I said, that's what it does. And I said, the more you take it, the more it's going to help you recover as well. So if you guys want to try it, it's on sale for over 17% off, super sale. So check that out at the website, healthmasters.com. And also be sure to check the other products that you can vote for on there as well. That'll be changing over on Wednesday, as always. So check that out. If you guys need anything, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.